kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
Bloviating the weekend away, back at it again, the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, because, hey, 4 hours a night, not enough. We do this 8 days a week. We thank you for subscribing, for downloading, for listening to the podcast. And this is the Sunday Mailbag Extravaganza. And as a gift to you, the consumer of podcasting, we have another podcast free from David West of the 405 guest gone. This is great. This is a pure podcast. It is unfiltered. And in Gascon's place, a man who is heartfelt, sincere, genuine, someone who's the anti-Gascon, Ryan Smith, the professional, well, former wrestler. That's Were you a professional or amateur wrestler?
I mean, I guess you could say professional, but it was indie. I wouldn't really call it like professional. When you say professional, it's like, oh, did you wrestle in the WWE? No, I didn't. No, sir.
Did okay.
No.
But did you think that you were going to wrestle? Did you have aspirations of wrestling in the WWE?
At one point when I was younger, yes. But pain will usually change your mind about most things.
Yeah. And I know we had you on before, and you said you did wrestle with some guys that did make it, right? You were around some guys that went pretty high.
Yeah, John Cena and Samoa Joe.
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
That's pretty good. Right. I mean, if I've heard of them, yeah, that's pretty good. All right, well, we have the mailbag, and so let's get right into it here. We like this. This is Unsullied by West of the 405. It's pesticide-free, chemical-free, unconditioned, unbleached. I don't know what else I can say. Anyway, these are actual questions from actual listeners. If you want to send a question for a future mailbag, you can do it two ways. Now, normally we record this podcast. I'll post something on Wednesday. Sometimes I post it on Tuesday on the show Facebook page, which is Ben Maller Show on Facebook. You should like the page and follow the page, and you can just post a question. That's the easiest way to do it. But if you want to send an email the old-fashioned way, the email address for this podcast is realfifthhour@gmail.com. Real, spell it out, fifth, F-I-F-T-H, hour@gmail.com. And just send your question, and we may use it on a future podcast. You can send it anytime. You can email right now here on Sunday, and then we'll possibly use it for next Sunday. If we use it on this podcast, well, something's gone terribly wrong. All right, so Pierre in Springfield, Massachusetts, the home of the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, where Muffet McGraw is enshrined. Pierre says, Benjamin, what is it going to take for you to finally dump the pro bouncy ball? Your Clippers, while seemingly trending upward, continue to disappoint you. Today's modern NBA player is a mere shell of the past mentality, and they hide behind their agents and keyboards. Reporters continue to lob softball questions in post-game interviews, and yet it's as if you kicked their dogs or assaulted their grandparents, Pierre says. I guess the same could be said for most pro athletes in many major sports, but there is still a safe haven. Ben, I know you're a hockey guy at heart. Dump the basketball and join Eddie and Dave on the dark side. That's from Pierre. Well, here's the problem, Pierre. First of all, I do, as you know, Pierre, a radio show 5 nights a week. I need content. We do broadcasting, not narrowcasting. So I like basketball. Listen, are there things that annoy me about the NBA? Do I roll my eyes at LeBron James? Yes. But at the same time, I'm a sports talk show host. It's a sport. It's a major U.S. sport. So, no. And I do watch hockey, but typically hockey, it's become more of a niche sport. So I'll do an occasional rare and appropriate hockey monologue. Are you a hockey fan, Ryan?
No. Okay. No.
No.
Okay. What is this hockey that you speak of? This reminds me of that sketch on Saturday Night Live when they had the black guy down there talking about hockey, and he was like, you know what they say about hockey? Let's get ready for that hockey. I'm like, I could name you one hockey player. I know nothing about hockey.
Well, you know, like the greatest hockey player of all time, right? You could name that guy.
Is Wayne Gretzky? Is he still around? Or
no, he's actually coming back on TV. He's going to be terrible as a hockey commentator, but he will be on television. Yeah. So there is that. You have that to look forward to. But I had a great time. I like going to the Kings games back in the day, and. I actually covered hockey when I started in radio. How about that? I had never been to a hockey game, and then I got hired at 690 in San Diego, and they wanted me to cover the Kings and the Mighty Ducks in addition to basketball. So I got a crash course on hockey from doing that. And the hockey players, of all the athletes, the hockey players like the most obliging to interviews, and I mean they'll sit there and just answer. They love being interviewed because they're not often interviewed.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, the worst are baseball players. Baseball players are the biggest assholes. Oh my God, they are such schmucks. The baseball players. All right. Anyway, moving man Matt all over the country, based in Boston, but he travels all over the country, the highways and byways. The moving billboard is back. He says, what's the best Mather tribute you have received from a militia member? He says, obviously, the rolling billboard is, but you don't have to say it. Well, no, listen. As you know, moving man Matt, I'm an introvert, but I went out of my way to hang out with you privately at a truck stop in Ontario.
What?
Yeah, I drove out. He was in town in Southern California, and he parked his moving truck over at a truck stop off the 10 in Southern California in Ontario. And I drove out there because he has the Mallor militia on the back of his brig.
Sweet. So let me get this straight. You met a strange man late at night at a truck stop.
Well, it was during the day, but I did meet him. That makes it all the better. Yeah. And I didn't see any lot lizards.
Was it in the bathroom somewhere or?
I did not meet him in the bathroom. I did not. But
was he tapping his foot?
The funny. Yeah, calm down, cowboy. He's a happily married man. So the funny thing about this was that so the truck stop is designed for these massive 18 wheelers and all that. So he tells me where to go to where the big rigs are, and you know how there are those gates that go up and down, to get into a parking garage?
Yes.
Well, the gate bar was so high up that it was designed for big rigs. I'm in a regular car, a mid-sized automobile, and I just drove underneath it and without a problem. It was that high up. My entire car fit under the thing. I didn't even have to worry about it. So then I went and we talked for a little bit, and It was very cool. I had met him in the past, though, right? So it's not like I never met him. Oh. He had shown up at the event we did in Boston. Mm. He came down, and so I had met him before. But
did he fix you breakfast or?
No. I would have been happy at the. I love truck stop food. I do. I could live the truck driver life. It's very unhealthy. It's fattening. It's bad for you. I could eat that food. I absolutely could. Anyway, Greg in Iowa writes, but yeah, moving man, Matt, just to answer your question, the billboard's great, the chicken fingers, the Mallor Fowler, the Mallor chicken sandwich, all these food dishes, the Mallor drink. I mean, these are all great honors. These are all great tributes. So you want to rank them. The food dishes are awesome in Denver and in Kansas City and Lawrence, Kansas, and all these places. So it's pretty cool. And we had other ones in Syracuse. That's no longer around. Michigan. So, and I'm open. We don't have a Mallor burger. There's not a Mallor burger. I'm open to a Mallor burger.
What would be in the Mallor burger?
All right. So the Mallor burger would be a combination of things. You'd have it'd be a cheeseburger, double meat, double cheese. You'd put grilled onions and onion straws on there. You'd have it would be like a barbecue based burger. You'd have a nice, solid, sweet barbecue sauce. I'm more of a sweet barbecue fan than anything else. I just pile on the onions. No lettuce, no vegetables, other than garlic. You can put some garlic on there.
Okay,
I'd be good with that. And I think that keep it simple. I think you just keep it simple. That's it. What about you on your burger? If you had the Ryan McBain burger.
It would be, okay, it would be a double bacon macaroni and cheese burger.
Ooh, mac and cheese. I don't think I've had mac and cheese in a burger.
It was amazing. I was shocked how good it was. The best burger I ever had.
Mac and cheese, the secret to the great burger.
Oh, yes.
Who knew? Have you ever been to Pittsburgh, Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh? You ever been there?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay, so it's this legendary, if you ever go to Pittsburgh, it's this legendary spot in Pittsburgh. And there's one in the Steel District that, I don't know if it still is, it was open 24 hours, but I went in there at like 1 in the morning, and they just put everything, it's sandwiches, but they put everything on the sandwich. Like the fries, like the whole thing. It's like the Pittsburgh way to eat a sandwich. And it's pretty good. I didn't think I was going to like it because they put a lot of lettuce and tomatoes and other crap on there, but I enjoyed it. Pretty good. That's where I don't know why that popped into my head, but you said mac and cheese, and that's like something they would do where they just put everything on top.
Oh, it was so good.
All right, Greg in Iowa says, Ben and Gascon, he's not here. You don't have to address Gascon. Have either of you, this is for you, Ryan, have either of you tried a smoker for cooking a brisket, ribs, or pulled pork? Or have the both of you just had other people's barbecue? Well, I actually owned a smoker, Greg. I moved and I gifted the smoker to someone I work with who does a cooking segment every week. But I really didn't use it. And the reason I didn't use it is because I typically don't spend that much time planning a meal. And to properly use a cooker or a slow cooker, a smoker, you have to plan it out. You got to leave it in there for many, many hours to get the proper taste. And I don't plan it out that far in advance. So I'm not a good smoker person. It does taste much better. I agree with you. And I wish I had that in me, but I watch some of these YouTube cooking shows because I want to improve my ability in the kitchen. I try to learn from these people. And some of these cooking channels I watch, like you want to make a pastrami sandwich a week before, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And then 2 days before, you got to do this. I'm like, no, if I want a pastrami sandwich, I want to eat it within an hour.
Yes, thank you. Everybody thinks they're freaking grade-A chef. You know,
yeah.
just give it to me now. You're not Gordon Ramsay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm right there. Now, I don't mind. You know, cooking a meal, if it takes about an hour, anything over that, I'm out. I can make a pizza. It doesn't take that long. You know, that you do have to let the dough rise a little bit if you make the dough from scratch. But aside from that, I'm about an hour. I can cook a chicken dish. I can cook a Philly cheesesteak. That cooks pretty quick because the thin cut ribeye cooks really fast. But I don't need to spend 8 hours in a smoker. So to answer your question, Greg, I had a smoker. I have attempted to use the smoker, but I'm not cut out for the smoker. I'm not. Vols fan Jimmy from Fayetteville, Tennessee, not far from the Rocky Mountains, says, Big Ben, when you move into your new house, will you continue with the ugly Christmas, ugly sweater Christmas party, whatever, and is the guest list going to grow shorter since you have a brand new house? Well, it's a renovated house, so it will be like a new house. But I've not thought about the ugly sweater party. We have to assume that the renovation gets done when it's supposed to get done. But we are bringing back the ugly sweater Christmas party. It is returning. So that is going to happen. And I have not thought about the list of invites and all that. I can tell you that some people violated the bubble of trust and will not be invited. There are a few people that were invited in the past that violated my inner circle, and so they will not be brought back. But other people will be, and so we'll see. It's a little further away where I'm moving, even further than where I lived before. So we'll see if people want to make the sojourn to the ugly sweater party.
Violated your trust? How?
Well, you know, if I let you in my house, I don't need you tweeting out information about my house.
Oh, you know what? I understand. That's messed up. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need that. I mean, it's a party. You can talk about the party, but you don't need to give out specific information because that's my personal business, and I'm letting you into my space,
so you're
and I want to punch you if you do that, okay?
So you're kind of like Derek Jeter. Leave your phones there, ladies.
Yeah, I mean, it's I totally get Derek Jeter. I should have a little basket where you can put your phone in. And, yeah, I mean, there's some of the stuff that people send out about. I mean, it's like, listen, you really have to give personal information out? You can't post something on Instagram or Twitter without giving out personal information? I mean, my God. Anyway, let's see. Who else do we have? Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia says, guys, from the All-Star game coming up, I was wondering about your thoughts about the political reason to move the game to Colorado, even though their election laws are stricter than Georgia. And are you looking forward to watching the game? So first of all, yeah, baseball totally screwed the pooch on this one. They went full woke, and it's one thing if it's like, we're going to move the game because we're upset about the laws in Georgia. But then you move to a state that has the same, and what many people think are more... draconian laws. We can debate that. That's a third rail, my man. The third rail. But Rob Manfred totally effed up. And am I going to watch the All-Star game? Yeah, I like baseball. I'm going to watch the All-Star game. So of course I'm going to watch the All-Star game. Plus I got to do a show after the All-Star game. So I'll be looking for content from the All-Star game. So of course, Jason, I'm going to watch the All-Star game. Although I'm already getting annoyed because when somebody gets too hyped up, it bothers me, and then I start hating them, and there's been way too much hype about Shohei Ohtani. I am already annoyed. You know what I'm saying, Ryan? Like, I get it. He's good. He's a pitcher. He's a hitter. He's unique. No one else is doing that, and no one else has even really tried it since Babe Ruth. But hold off a little bit. This is not God's gift to humanity, okay?
I'm sick and tired of people telling me, oh, man, he might hit 60 home runs. No, he's not going to do that. It's a long season, people.
Yeah, there's this thing called the slump that typically, right around the All-Star break. I'll make a prediction with you, Ryan, okay? As you know, I'm a distant relative of the great Nostradamus and friend of Nostradinus. He lives in Seattle. So I expect the All-Star game is this Tuesday. So by mid-August, Ohtani will have like a stretch of 20 games with like one home run or no home run. Some ridiculous slump. And someone will write a story, probably behind a paywall on The Athletic, saying that it is because of the home run derby, it's because of the stress of the All-Star game that Ohtani went into a slump. How about that? Calling my shot. I'm shooting my shot right now.
All right.
What do you think?
It makes sense.
Yeah. And that has been debunked. The myth that if you're in the home run derby, you will then struggle after that, that has been debunked. But still, it continues. People write the story. It's an easy story to write.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fred from Spring, Texas writes in. He says, hey, Ben, why does your audience applaud wildly when you introduce David, but nary a clap when you come to the show, when you come on the air? Well, there's a simple solution and reason for that. Again, we can be honest here, unvarnished truth, unmodified by anyone. But the reason that is because the guy west of the 405, he hits this button, right? And the crowd goes wild. It's all about him. He's got this ego wall, right? Where he's just, it's this button. It's a, you know what an ego wall is, by the way, Ryan? You ever heard that term before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's people flaunt the people they know. You know, photos of you shaking hands or whatever with people. Well, Gascon, on radio, we can't have a ego wall because radio, we're podcasting, there's no photo. So in his way of getting around that, his workaround is the canned sound effect. Can't sound effect. I got in trouble when I was doing local radio because I used to, when I first did the radio with the Ben and Dave show, the original Ben and Dave show with this guy named Dave Smith, and we had this replay machine, sound effects machine, and every time I made a joke that I thought was funny, even if it wasn't funny, I would hit the laugh track. And the program director, this guy named Bo Bennett, came into the studio in the middle of the show and physically ripped the machine out of the studio because I had played it so much. He was so annoyed that he literally ripped the thing. He had to unplug it, and he put it over his shoulder like it was a sack of potatoes and walked. It was really funny. It was really funny back in the day. What is next? Jennifer in Richmond, Virginia. Beautiful Richmond, Virginia. She says, Ben, how far in advance will you announce your meet and greet, your Maller meet and greet dates and locations, and will you coordinate it to be on your non-fasting days? I hope to meet you this year. Well, very nice, Jennifer. I have nothing planned at this time. My first objective is to move again. And so I'm kind of in a holding pattern, like I'm circling the airport and I'm waiting to land. So I'm waiting for that to happen. So that's the main event right now. But there have been some people that have reached out about doing meet and greets. I would like to do one before the end of the year, and certainly before the weather turns nasty in places like Richmond, Virginia, and other places. But nothing has been confirmed. I do need to go to the upper Midwest to visit my brother at some point, who's in Wisconsin. So I don't know if we'll do it in Wisconsin. I've got family I got to visit in Michigan, so maybe we'll do something in Michigan. And obviously, we got a lot of listeners in Minnesota. So I've talked for years about going to Cincinnati. So those are some of the places. And then if I just happen to travel somewhere and it's not one of those places and I can sneak away from the family and hang out with some listeners, I'll do that. But I will let you know, Jennifer. I promise, and we will promote as much as I'm physically allowed to promote, certainly on the podcast here. On the fifth hour, we have a little more wiggle room to promote that. Ryan, will you making any appearances, Ryan? Any meet and greets with your fans?
Will it be at a truck stop? That's the question.
Out there. You are so taken aback. See, you think Colin Cowherd would go to a truck stop to meet a listener? You think he would do that? Yeah. No, right?
I'm not touching that one, all right?
How about Dan Patrick? You think Dan Patrick's going to go down to a truck stop in Connecticut? No. I am the man of the people, Ryan. That's what I'm saying. That I don't mind going down there and hanging out with the people. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Nobody tapped their toes.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that. You live your life.
Yeah, I'm living my best life. And then it'll be over and no one will remember. Anyway, all right. Kyrie in OKC says, my wife hates the show but loves that you read the email every weekend and ask me to play it for her. Wow. Well, it's a good move by your wife that she despises the show, that I am scum to her, that I take away. The time you're listening, Kyrie, to me is the time you're supposed to be canoodling with your wife. And instead, I am an enemy combatant to your wife. I know how she looks at this. I'm an enemy of the people. I'm an enemy of the sanctity of the marriage because I am providing marginal audio content, and for some reason you are addicted. So I thank her for putting up with that. He does say, though, Kyrie here, that he says maybe you guys are growing on her. So that could be good and bad. That could be like a fungus, or that could be like hair growing long. Anyway, all right, he said hello to David Gaffigan. But Gaffigan's not here. Anyway, here's the question. The question is this. He says, my question is, what is your favorite and least favorite chore or honeydew that you have to do at your house? All right, so there's two things I like. I like doing the dishes. I'm a great dishwasher. When I finally lose my radio job, I become a dishwasher. I used to want to work at Costco and push shopping carts, but I think I'm really, really good at dishwashing. And if I had the ability to have a professional big dishwasher, boy, that would make it next level. And not to be pompous or anything like that, but seriously, I'm a very good dishwasher. I like doing laundry, but I don't like putting clothes away. So if I could just wash the clothes and dry the clothes, I'm really good at that, but putting the clothes back, I like my clothes I know how to put back, but my wife, I have no idea. Like women's clothing, I didn't grow up with sisters. I don't know where anything goes. I am completely just like, holy crap. So those are a couple things. And then don't really vacuum. We have like tile type floors, so there's no need to really really vacuum. I don't mind washing the car, but it takes a long time to do it right. So that's a pain in the ass. What about you, Ryan?
Putting the clothes away after you wash them. I hate doing that.
Yeah, all right? Horrible.
Yes. Also, dusting. I hate dusting.
Yeah, dusting sucks. But when you don't dust, and I know this because my pops, when he passed away, he hadn't dusted since my mom passed away, and there were dust was caked all over stuff, all over the house, and it was disgusting. Like, there were dust little... Ugh, brutal. Occasionally, you got to dust.
I know.
Just saying.
I know.
Just saying, man. Just saying. All right, big... this is from Neil. He says, Big Ben, he's in Miami, or Miami, as we all call it, a.k.a. Magic City. He's M-I-A, Magic City. He says, by the way, Palmetto Bay is a no-fly zone for real Miamians and Gasconians west of the 405. Yeah, there's this couple, Ryan, to get you caught up to speed on this, to circle back. So there's this couple in Palmetto Bay, very nice couple. They're from New York. They're, you know, typical retired couple in Florida living in Palmetto Bay. And they looked up Gascon, and they determined that Gascon would be willing to do nudity in acting. He'd be willing to be nude on camera. And so they called him on it, and he got very upset and offended, so he takes shots at Palmetto Bay. And, yeah, he says, it is a nest of its own, this is Neil, no own with wealthy people with boats and multi-car garages. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Mm. The boat. See, the boat's one of those things where if you have a boat, you're considered wealthy, but if you live on a boat, you're likely not considered wealthy. The same thing like a motorhome, right? If you have a motorhome, people think you have a lot of money, but if you live in the motorhome, you're poor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true, though.
Yeah. It also, there's a lot of things in life like that, like a watch. Like, there's really expensive watches, and then there's watches that you have because you don't have a smartphone that tells you the time because you can't afford a smartphone, and you don't have a phone, and you need to tell time, and so you have like a cheap Casio watch from like 1987. There's that kind of watch.
Yeah, I mean, or you know, people that sleep in a car bed. Fine. But if you sleep in your car, you're probably poor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right. There you go. You're all right. All right. Anyway, let's see. Neil says, congratulations on the new house, blah, blah, blah. Wishing you many blessings. Thank you, Neil. Maller Mansion 2.0. He says he recently moved to a new place. He's got a new condo on June 3rd. And his company decided to throw in a white flag and close down. So he's been busy getting his place tidy to a more livable standard and looking for a new gig. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Neil. That's too bad. It says, taking care of this eight-month-old that doesn't want to sleep at night, the one you did a cameo for. Maybe she will be another listener of yours. Well, we hope. Although 8 months old, I don't think you can comprehend the magic of sports talk radio. That's why Neil says he has been missing in action. I know we're very concerned. We wondered what happened. When you guys don't email us and check in, we're like, oh, we lost that listener. That listener's gone. Or maybe that listener died or something horrible happened. Anyway, getting to the question here. All right. Let's see here. Here we go. Question number one. Career-wise, what are you and the handsome Gascon's favorite years? Well, he's not here. And he's not handsome. Favorite years after two decades in radio, i.e. when you first started versus messy middle years or like now late when you are killing it and you have a lot of listeners and all that stuff. People know who you are. Well, listen, when I started, I didn't know for sure that I was going to make it my career. And so that was nerve-wracking. I made no money. It was horrible. But I have great memories. It's odd. At the time, I did not like it. But looking back on it, I have very fond memories of being single and going to games every night and, you know, hanging out with guys after games and drinking until 3 a.m. and going to Tommy's and eating chili cheeseburgers and, you know, being 450, 500 pounds, whatever I was at my fattest, and just living my best life. But I'm very happy where I am now. So I don't know. Mm. Where are you at in your career there? You're a young chap there, right?
I'm not that young, but when I first started out, I had more energy and it was more enjoyable because I was with around people my age. I was working with Petros. It was crazy. We had so much fun. We had no idea what the hell we were doing, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I do miss that. You know, the radio in the 90s was so much different than radio in 2020s. Like the freedom we had, the laughs we could do, and because of cancel culture and the wokers and, you know, the wokerati and all that. I mean, we are unable to do the things that we were able to do 20, you know, something years ago on the radio, over 20 years, like closer to 25 years. And that's annoying because I think people are still pretty much the same, but everyone's so paranoid about this, that, and the other thing. So that sucks. So I did enjoy the freedom that we had back in those days, but I'm very comfortable where I am. Very, very happy with where I am right now.
You must be because you're a big baller now.
I don't know about that.
Big baller, shot caller, 20-inch rims on the Impala.
Look at you. You're like George Shea freestyling rapping.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what you're doing. I like that guy, George Shea, by the way. I like that cat. That Major League Eating, we had him on a Friday. If you didn't hear that podcast, go back and hear the podcast. It was pretty good. Let's see here. He says, I had to look for a new gig, Neil, and the two I found in my area are working at, he said, Northridge, north of L.A., and Santa Rosa, north of San Francisco. He says, I'm coming from a reasonable place, Miami, where rational working class moderates are embraced. So struggling with leftist California life, the idea, all that stuff, he says, would you still move to California today knowing what you know now? You just bought a new home, so maybe I got my answer. Any advice? Well, no, I mean, I'm pretty much locked in here. I've been offered radio jobs in different cities around the country, and if I wasn't married, I probably would have taken them at some point. But no, my wife's she loves California, and her family's all here, and my family's all over the place, so I'm likely not going anywhere. But you know, your money, I don't know about Miami. Miami's pretty pricey, although not quite California pricey because it's Florida. But there's nice places in California. I mean, the politics, I don't agree with the politics, the way the state's run. I think it's a joke with the homeless, not taking care of the homeless problem. And it is a poorly run state, as you said, but there are places that are, it's beautiful. Geography-wise, it's a wonderful place. The weather's great. And there are people that push back on the morons that are running the state in Sacramento and the politics and all that. So to answer your question, that's all I know. I've lived in California pretty much my entire life. I've visited a lot of places. I've spent time, you know, limited time in different places. And I think I could live pretty much anywhere. I think there's nice places anywhere and there's crappy places anywhere. But you just have to, if you move to California, Neil, you're going to have to try to change the hearts, minds, and souls of some of the moon bats in California.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's not going to work, but, you know. Hey, they were able to recall Gavin Newsom, King Gavin, who shut the entire state down. So that's actually a good sign. I think that's a good sign. Dave in Mill Valley writes in California. He says, could we take up a collection to buy Cowboy John Brad in Windsor, a new cordless phone, or is the omnipresent static considered an essential part of his shtick? I'm asking for a friend. Well, Dave, great question. Cowboy is the longest tenured caller on Fox Sports Radio. He goes back to the early days of the network and when we didn't have anyone calling Fox Sports Radio and we were on like four radio stations and it was brutal and we're like, oh my God. And Cowboy found us and he's never stopped calling ever since. He continues to call the show and to this day goes on and on and on and on, and we're grateful for that. But yeah, it's part of the ambiance. It's part of the charm of Cowboy is the fact that his phone sounds like it was purchased with a magazine subscription. It sounds like that. And, you know, Cowboy's he's getting up there. He was a middle-aged guy when he started calling the show, and we've been doing this a long time, so he's getting a little up there in age. And he's also, one of his nicknames is the Handsome Hoarder. So that phone is probably buried in a pile of newspapers or some other nonsense. So, well, we grandfather Cowboy in, is what I'm trying to say. We grandfather Cowboy in. Ed from Lewiston, Maine writes in. He says, hey, Ben, I have been in and out of homeless territory, mostly by choice. And he says he loves camping. Trying to regain access to Twitter, I just want to say, how about those Clippers? And then he says, do the Laker championships won in Minnesota really count? Well, listen, Ed, that's low-hanging fruit. That's batting practice fastball. That's a layup line. That's T-ball. Listen, of course the Laker championships do not count for the L.A. Lakers. They count for the Minneapolis. That's a Minneapolis championship. Just like I don't count, I'm a Dodger fan, and I don't count the Brooklyn Dodgers championships because to me, I'm an L.A. Dodger fan. I'm not a Brooklyn Dodger fan. I do wear the Brooklyn Dodger hat because I like the B because it's like my name starts with a B, so it's all about me. But no, you know, any educated sports fan will tell you, and this is what another thing Laker historians don't like when you point this out, that they're still trailing the Celtics in the championship scoreboard because every Celtic championship was won as the Boston Celtics, not the Fort Wayne Celtics or the Portland, Maine Celtics or the Hartford, Connecticut Celtics. They were all won as the Boston Celtics. The Lakers can't say that because those are if you look at the old photos, George Mikan with Minneapolis, the short abbreviation of Minneapolis on his jersey. It's my hot take right there.
That's a hot take.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You agree. I know you agree.
So well, I mean, I'm also a Raiders fan. So, I mean, I don't care where the Raiders win their titles. I'm claiming them.
Well, the difference is the Raiders are a vagabond team. But still, you leave the Raiders championships in L.A., stay in L.A. The ones in Oakland stay there. And if they ever win in Vegas, that'll be the Vegas championship. Chris in Maricopa, Iowa says, Ben, can you please explain how or why minor league teams change affiliates with major league baseball teams? What goes into the decision? Well, Chris, the answer here is rather simple. As I know, and I have some friends that work in minor league baseball. I have some people I know over the years that have worked for major league teams. And it's very simple. It's what we all learned as kids. It's all about the money. A lot of it is geography-based. How close are you to the big league team? That became a big thing a number of years ago. It used to be minor league teams would be all over the place. And you could have a team in Miami and their minor league, their AAA affiliate would be in Vegas, which has, I think the Marlins did have that at one point. So that changed. They want to have the teams geographically close to the mothership. Also the facilities. The contracts come up every few years, and if the minor league operators don't keep their facilities up, then the big league team will move somewhere else. Also, talk about the money, if they get a better deal, if somebody gives them a sweetheart deal from a different city and offers them all kinds of incentives and whatnot to move their affiliation, then they'll do it. So it's who money and who's money hungry and what can they get? But it sucks, man. I love minor league baseball. We've done a lot of events at minor league baseball games. I know the Cal League was trimmed. They got rid of the team in Lancaster. A couple other teams are gone in the Cal League. And I know a bunch of other minor league teams went out of business, and it sucks. And I don't know that they're ever going to come back. I hope they will. I think they were able to make money, not much, but they made a little bit of money. But it's terrible. Kevin in Kansas writes, and he says, hey, Ben, I've enjoyed listening to you while I run, while I mow yards, and now while I fly. How about that? He's flying. Thanks for making everything so interesting and fun. Are either of you looking forward to flying again? I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it, Kevin, but the idea of going somewhere far away sounds pretty cool. Like, I've never really enjoyed flying unless I have a whole row to myself and I can stretch out. Because normally the flights are full. You're jammed in. So, I'm looking forward to – have you flown, Ryan, since this whole COVID thing started? Have you
two things I'm not too crazy about doing because of COVID. I'm just not ready yet. One is flying, and two is going to the movie theater. Not quite there yet.
Really? They say that the flying, they recycle the air. They take air from the outside, so it's actually not dangerous to fly.
Not quite there yet. I'm going to get there eventually, but
The movies, you're kind of far away from everybody. Right?
Here's the thing. We've all seen when they started opening up the country and letting people back into games, people don't know how to act. throwing things at players, spitting on players. I'm afraid if I go to a movie theater, you get these idiots coming in here. They haven't been around people. They have no home training. And they're going to start acting like idiots because they haven't been around people for a while.
What movie? Are you going to a movie theater with cavemen? What are we doing here?
Oh, man, dude, man, people are crazy. Man, come on.
People are going to be people. They're
yeah, yeah.
Knuckle draggers. That's what we all are. Come on.
You know what?
You get the brains.
I wanted to go to the theater tomorrow to see Black Widow. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to watch it at home. Okay? I don't trust people right now.
Oh, come on. Got to live your life, my man. You got to live your life.
All right. Okay. You live your life. I'll live mine.
I am living my life. Okay. I'm fine. I am doing all kinds of stuff. Not leaving my house much. But I when I do leave my house.
See? There you go.
Well, that's because I'm an introvert. That's why.
If so I like am people, I. I'm
no, but I'm not worried about somebody spitting a loogie on me or throwing something at me when I go to the movies. I'm not. You're a big guy too. They don't mess with guys like us. Little people they mess with. Regular sized people. You're an intimidating person. I'm an intimidating person, kind of, because of my size. People don't mess with us.
People are crazy. All right, and also, you might get caught in the crossfire. You never know.
Oh man. All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app. Or wherever you can get your podcast.
Next one from Sweet Potato Bob. Sweet Potato Bob. He says, like a British bullfrog to a non-existent dirt pile in the southern swamp, I have been a loyal, unofficial Maller militia member spreading your radio waves to every southeastern Indianan and Ohioan. Well, thank you for that, Sweet Potato Bob, we do appreciate it. Not wanting to break the radio host listener treaty, I denied myself from Googling a picture of Big Ben until a week ago when I heard an email read about that said the Maller militia grows stronger with each Maller meeting. I will be attending the next Maller meet and greet and paying my $50 for my autograph. Wow. Look at that. Anyway, says on to the email. It says, Googling the picture of our fearless leader, it was exactly what I pictured all of these years. A chiseled Greek god atop his chariot who can easily carry the radio world on his broad shoulders, Atlas style, capable of saving these politically correct airwaves just like Superman in the night, only with no known weakness. I wish I had saved this for when Gascon was here, because Gascon would have, like, you would have hung up and screamed and shouted and taken this out of the podcast. He says, my question, this is from Sweet Potato Bob, my new favorite listener, Sweet Potato Bob in Cincinnati, Ohio. He says, my question is, should I attempt the same Google image search for Gascon, for I fear I may not see what my mind pictures, a shorter pen with the body of Teller. Please help. And am I that far off with Gascon? No, listen, Gascon, the reason he's in radio is he's not easy on the eyes. He's not. If he was a mythical character, the one that comes to mind is Medusa, right? Like a male Medusa.
He looks like he has a bunch of nickels in his cheeks.
Yeah, and he's got, like, hair plugs. He's got that going for him. That's not his natural hair. It's kind of, when you look at Gascon, you there's going to be, like, these venomous snakes that are going to look at you from the hair, right? And if Gascon looks you in the eye, you turn to stone. The whole thing turns to stone. It's really bad. He's got this, like, grimace. This frown, it's really bad.
Kind of looks like Grimace.
Yeah, he does look. Yeah, he's one of his next acting gigs will be when they make the new McDonald's commercial, and they can put Grimace in there. So that's absolutely true. Tom in Florida says, not a question, but I was listening to Clay Travis's show this week, And he had Megyn Kelly on. She used the term Wokerati and the third rail. Maybe she's a Maller Militia listener. Well, Tom, thank you. I highly doubt Megyn Kelly's a listener to the show. I will not take credit for the Wokerati. That has been used by others. But I will take credit for the third rail because that term, we've been using that term. I've been using that term for 15 years, 20 years. Our boss at Fox Sports Radio, Don Martin. That is a Don Martin, one of our management people at Fox. That is his term. And when you're in a meeting with him and you talk about the show and certain topics that you discuss, he will say, and this is an exact quote, I'm not exaggerating in any way, this is our boss, Don Martin. That's the third rail, my man. That's the third rail. That's exactly how he sounds. And that is when you talk about a political issue or some, you know, wild controversy, because people get so upset and take things so personally about an opinion they don't agree with, and they get all worked up into a lather. And so that's the third rail. So that is something we've been using for a long time. But thank you, Tom. I'm glad. And if Megyn Kelly is a listener, that's fine. You'd be surprised. We have a lot of people that listen that shock me that actually enjoy.
Yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly fan. Didn't enjoy. She was famous during the election when Trump took shots at her. Remember that was the great debate, and she was the debate MC and all that.
And then she had views on blackface and like, you know what? Stop talking.
Not a fan of her. What's she doing? She's doing a podcast or something? I don't even know what she's doing these days. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think she's back on TV, is she?
I have no idea. I wouldn't know. Couldn't tell you.
Could not tell you. You're not a fan. So even if she was, you would not be a fan. Anyway, all right, that is it. We'll put the baby to bed, as they like to say. I don't know who they are. But have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll be back. And remember the talent show. This is a big week on the Maller Show because we have the talent show Monday into Tuesday. So not tonight. Tonight is the pregame. And then on Monday night into Tuesday, we will have the 2021 Maller Militia Talent Show. And we will celebrate the talent in the Maller Militia. We have many acts, many variety acts ready to go. We have some canned acts. We have some other acts that are going to be performed live. We have poetry. We have lists. We have impersonations, song and dance, all of that on the talent show. So if you're going to listen to one show this week, I recommend the Monday into Tuesday show. But that'll be coming up this week. Have a great day, and we'll catch you tonight back in the Magic Radio Box.